I hope this means,
said the corpulent red-nosed wizard who hung on the wall behind Dumbledore's desk,
that Dumbledore will soon be back with us.
Harry turned. The wizard was surveying him with great interest. Harry nodded. He tugged again on the doorknob behind his back, but it remained immovable.
Oh, good,
said the wizard.
It has been very dull without him, very dull indeed.
He settled himself on the throne-like chair on which he had been painted and smiled benignly upon Harry.
Dumbledore thinks very highly of you, as I am sure you know,
he said comfortably.
Oh, yes, hold you in great esteem.
The guilt filling the whole of Harry's chest like some monstrous, weighty parasite now writhed and squirmed. Harry could not stand this. He could not stand being Harry anymore. He had never felt more trapped inside his own head and body, never wished so intensely that he could be somebody, anybody else. The empty fireplace burst into emerald green flame, making Harry leap away from the door, staring at the man spinning inside the grate. As Dumbledore's tall form unfolded itself from the fire, the wizards and witches on the surrounding walls jerked awake. Many of them gave cries of welcome.
Thank you, said Dumbledore softly.
He did not look at Harry at first, but walked over to the perch beside the door and withdrew from an inside pocket of his robes the tiny, ugly, featherless forks, whom he placed gently on the tray of soft ashes beneath the golden post where the full-grown forks usually stood.
Well, Harry, said Dumbledore, finally turning away from the baby bird, you will be pleased to hear that none of your fellow students are going to suffer lasting damage from the night's events.
Harry tried to say good, but no sound came out. It seemed to him that Dumbledore was reminding him of the amount of damage he had caused by his actions tonight. And although Dumbledore was for once looking at him directly, and though his expression was kindly rather than accusatory, Harry could not bear to meet his eyes.
Madame Pomfrey is patching everybody up now, said Dumbledore. Nymphadora Tonks may need to spend a little time in St. Mungo's, but it seems that she will make a full recovery.
Harry contented himself with nodding at the carpet, which was growing lighter as the sky outside grew paler. He was sure that all the portraits around the room were listening closely to every word Dumbledore spoke, wondering where Dumbledore and Harry had been and why there had been injuries.
I know how you are feeling, Harry, said Dumbledore very quietly.
No, you don't,
said Harry, and his voice was suddenly loud and strong. White-hot anger leapt inside him. Dumbledore knew nothing about his feelings.
You see, Dumbledore,
said Phineas Nigellus slyly.
Never try to understand the students. They hate it. They would much rather be tragically misunderstood, wallow in self-pity, stew in their own...
That's enough, Phineas, said Dumbledore.